You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on another Prospect Minute is Matt Thompson.
What's up, man? I'm good. A little sick. You know, took the day off work today. A little congested. I apologize. Had a little bug for the Braves one, too. So sorry if I sounded a little different. It's that time of year, I guess. So.
Yeah, it is. I went through a little thing, a little cold this weekend. My family did as well. But I rebounded fairly quickly, which is nice because this is the while most podcasts are either haven't even gotten started or just starting to ramp up, we are in full swing. I mean, two podcasts a day, pretty much through the end of this month. So this is not the time. And I mean, you and I are both on over half of those because we're doing all the prospect minutes. You and right. I. So it is not a time for us to get sick at all.
No, I got to work through it. Like mm-hmm. pros we are, you know, give 110%. Got to thank the Lord.
I only give about
all those cliches, all the cliches we have. We
got best shape of my life.
Right. Well,
yeah. No, not even close. Yeah. No. All right. Let's. You could reach Matt on Twitter at MDTopFWFB. Me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. We were talking about the Oakland A's, and you were just telling me right before I hit the record button, you have a fire take on your list. I don't think it's as fire as maybe some people will, but why don't you go ahead and say it?
Well, all right. I think in the Oakland Athletics, from a fantasy point of view, I think Jorge Mateo is the top prospect in the organization.
Cue everybody going crazy.
Right. Well, and I think the consensus pick is Barreto. Or maybe even A.J. Puck, which I love A.J. Puck. So, but I think the consensus is Barreto. I guess we'll lay out Mateo and Barreto, and then we'll kind of go back to this. Because these lists are kind of in flux as, these lists are kind of in flux at all the time. They're going to pretty much be updated until the day that we send this thing off to the press, mm-hmm. I guess, so to speak. So, I mean, there's a lot
and
of things
that even after that, it'll continue to be updated.
So. Right. So as of right now, I guess we'll dig into Mateo first, and then we'll do Barreto. We'll touch back on this, and then we'll dive into AJ Puck. Does that sound good?
Sounds good to me.
I guess my reasoning with Mateo is 22, and Barreto's only 21. So that's a slight, advantage Barreto in that aspect. Mateo, from the Dominican, famously in the big piece, the Sonny Gray trade. Kind of a tale of two separate halves for Mateo. And it was a weird stat line for him. He put up better numbers as he climbed the ladder. He started off in high A in Tampa for the Yankees in 240, 288, 400 was the slash. That's not good. But he did steal 28 bags, flash the power, 16 doubles, 8 triples, 4 homers. So, okay, you'll take that in the grand scheme of things. For some reason, based off those numbers, he got promoted to Double A, which I don't understand why, but he did. So it's good. 300, 381, 525, had 9 doubles, 3 triples, 4 homers again, and 11 stolen bases there. Was traded. Double A Midland goes to the Eastern League to the Texas League, a higher offensive environment. So what does he do? Worse numbers. 292, 333, 518, 5 doubles, 7 triples, 4 homers, and 13 stolen bases. All in all, cumulative line across high A and double A, and at bats were split pretty evenly between the two leagues. 267, 322, 459 slug, which is pretty high for a guy with this profile. 30 doubles, 18 triples, 12 homers, and 52 stolen bases. Was only caught 13 times, so it's not like he's running wild. 52 stolen bases and only getting caught 13 times is pretty good. I'm not really good at math off the top of my head, but I'd take that percentage. It seems like it's over the 75% threshold, which is expected. But he's got more. Basically, the thing with Mateo is he's got more raw power than he's advertised. You know, he's looked at as a speed guy. And a lot of the other questions are he doesn't walk enough to get on base. But, you know, you'll deal with a 322 on base. That's fine when you're stealing 52 bags, right? I mean, Billy Hamilton doesn't have a 322 on base, and he steals 60 bags, right? And I think Mateo is a better hitter than Hamilton's ever showed so far. And defensive home is a question mark for Mateo, but it's also a question mark for Barreto. Mateo, when he was with the Yankees, started spending some time playing center field and second base. I mean, they had Gleyber Torres, Didi Gregorius. He's not playing shortstop for the Yankees. It's not happening. In Oakland, though, he might. Marcus Semien's there. He's not a plus defender in any stretch. Jed Lowry also kind of played short a little bit before Semien, and they dabble a little bit with guys like that. Defense is short isn't as high a priority in Oakland as it was in New York, and you don't have the options. So I think he could stick at shortstop, and he's played. I want to get this, make sure I have this right. So after he came over in the A's organization, he exclusively played shortstop. So that's a good sign, right? Mm-hmm. So if he could stick at shortstop and steal 40 bags, shit, you might have a kind of a slight variation off of Trey Turner here, and you know without the big power spike. But Trey Turner is not a really big OBP guy compared to average, anyways, and he's got the power speed combination that carries him. Mateo has that as well, but kind of mute the tools a little bit, like 90% of Turner. And I think you have Mateo, and that's still a hell of a player. That's a top four round fantasy pick. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see Barreto ever getting up to those skills. And, I mean, Mateo played well when he's athletic enough. He played a very good second base, it looked like, and he played a decent center field, even when he had those opportunities. And Barreto, you know, he's questionable at shortstop. I think ultimately he's probably a second baseman, but he doesn't have that power speed combo. Not anywhere near the levels of Jorge Mateo. And Barreto, I mean, he was the centerpiece of the Josh Donaldson trade. He's going to be 22 in opening day. I don't think he's going to push Semien off a shortstop this year. So that's going to have to put Barreto at second. Even then, I mean, you look at a guy, 19 doubles, seven triples, 15 homers, 15 steals, 293, 39, 456 in AAA in the PCL. Nashville's not the peak AAA park. You know, it's not as heavily offensively tilted as the others. But those numbers are good, but they don't jump off the page, really. He's got the same issues with OBP and drawing walks as Mateo does. Only 27 walks in 111 games, 469 at-bats. Down in AAA. His Major League Cup of Coffee didn't go well. 197, 250, 352. Two homers, two steals. So I think Barreto is more, and I mean this in the nice way because I still like Dansby, but he's more Dansby Swanson than not. You know what I mean? With the power speed.
That doesn't make me feel good after being so down on Dansby Swanson.
Well, you were down on Swanson. I think you were down too far on Swanson, in my opinion. But I think Barreto was...
How dare you?
Well, no, I'm not saying you're wrong. That's my opinion. But I think Barreto has a slightly better offensive future than Dansby. But I think from Mateo, from a fantasy lens, despite being a year older and two levels behind, I still think I take Mateo, which kind of sounds crazy. But the stolen bases, man, that's the king of nowadays, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you look at Barreto's stats, does anything he does, when you look at a ceiling of a guy probably hit 20 homers and 15 steals, if I'm being optimistic, at second base, that's not a top four fantasy pick, top four rounds. Mm-hmm. So I think Mateo is ultimately the upside play? I mean, how do you feel after kind of listening to a mini breakdown of those guys?
I mean, for me, I've been holding on to him. I was a big fan when he was kind of starting to raise up all the prospect lists, especially the fantasy ones. And I've kind of held tight. You know, he may not be the guy who steals 80 bases, but I definitely think he's a guy that if he can find a defensive position in Oakland, and I can't imagine, you know, it's not like Oakland has cared very much about defense in the last few years, and we've seen
right.
that from Marcus Semien sticking at shortstop. So, like, I don't see why he won't be able to find a defensive home somewhere, and I think he has a good enough hit tool to get himself on base at a pretty decent rate. So I have no reason to think he won't be at least Billy Hamilton at some point.
Right. I pulled up, you know, this, I don't want to go through all the names. It would take forever. But guess how many guys stole more than 25 bases last year in the majors?
God, 12.
Nine.
Yep.
Guess how many stole more than 40?
Ooh, two.
Three.
Three. Yeah.
So you can kind of see why I'm higher on Mateo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well,
he might end up.
You know, I was writing another article. Actually, it was an article on punting, and I was in the part I was talking about punting stolen bases. This was the fewest amount of stolen bases in the major league since 1994.
Right. Wow. Yeah. 1994 wasn't even a full season.
Exactly.
Right. And I think the thing with Mateo, obviously, you've heard the caveat, can't steal first base, and that's going to be the big problem. I'm not projecting him for big home run numbers, but gap-to-gap power when you can run like that, I mean, the outcomes, the range of expected outcomes are literally all over the map here. Like, you know, he could be Jared Dyson, he could be D. Gordon, he could be Billy Hamilton, right? I mean, it's, or he could be nothing. I mean, it's, I'd rather shoot my shot and go high upside on Mateo than take Barreto this high anyways.
And, you know, and backing you up, you know, you and I talked about prior to the podcast, James Anderson of RotoWire took Mateo first of the top three Oakland prospects. He took a puck later, him and Ian Kahn, and then someone else grabbed Barreto. So, I mean, like...
well, it's a Lockhart, Oakland A's beat writer, I think, or mm-hmm. Scout.com coverage.
So, but that Jose Mateo went first out of that group.
Right, and that seems to be the thing. Stolen bases are king.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and to touch a little bit more on Barreto, he's been extremely young for the level. He's still going to be amongst the youngest players in the PCL this year. But, I mean, 15 to 20 homer pop, good. But, I mean,
it's not
15
special.
To 20.
Not anymore.
Right, right. And 280 average. 280 average with like a 315 OBP. Like, you're looking at a guy like that. I'm not as high on Barreto as others, which kind of plays into this. But Mateo, I think, it has to be the guy for me. And now I've kind of talked myself into that even more. I don't think it's particularly close.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the next guy on this list is clear cut is AJ Puck. I love this kid coming out of college. 6'7", 220. He's got the build. It's an incredible at bat against lefties. Good luck. 97 to 98 is what he gets up to. Sits about 95, 96, so just underneath Gohara. Mentioned it kind of a little teaser last time. I think Robbie Ray is AJ Puck. I just think you get the strikeout total. The walks are going to be a smidge high. But AJ Puck has the benefit of pitching in Oakland. But Robbie Ray has the benefit of facing the pitcher. So mm-hmm. kind of works itself out. Plus, breaking ball for Puck. Changeup's improving. Had back problems when he got drafted. Haven't heard anything about those. I think he's the perfect number two starter. 22 years old. Don't look at the ERA. 4.03 in his minor league career. Last year, anyways. 4.03. You just look at, you know, he suppresses hits. Strikeouts, 184 in 125 innings. So, you know, he's got those in the bag. I think AJ Puck, you know, top of my head, all the guys we've talked about so far on this show, I would put him right around Gohara and Colby Allard in my prospect list, Sixto Sanchez. He's below Sanchez, but he's probably right around where Gohara and Allard are.
I think that's fair.
So, I you know, I like the strikeout potential. It's enormous here. Number four option for me is a guy that's going to contribute to the major leagues this year and a guy that nobody is talking about and a guy that I'm going to get everywhere and I have started getting him almost everywhere, and it's Dustin Fowler. Famously played that game last year in Chicago when he slid into the electrical box.
And is currently suing the White Sox.
And shredded his knee up. Yeah, yes, sir. 60 grade speed before the injury. Hopefully it comes back. 55 power, you know, so he's above average speed power guy, which is all you could want. And maybe this pushes him off center field with a knee injury or anything like that. But Oakland doesn't really have a center fielder of the future in their organization right now, so maybe he's the guy. But in Double A in 2016, Fowler went 281, 311, 458, 30 doubles, 15 triples, 12 homers, 25 stolen bases. And in 2017 in Triple A, before the call-up, 19 doubles, 8 triples, 13 homers, 13 steals, hit 293, 329, 542. Obviously, he doesn't walk a ton. He's an aggressive hitter, but he's a controlled aggressive hitter. So I'm going all in on this guy. I was kind of all in on him there. He's easily going to be my top 100. He's going to contribute now. I'm a little bit worried about the knee, but, you know, everybody, that's just going to drive the price down. I'm going to take my shot. I think Dustin Fowler could put up comparable production to what we kind of expect Bradley Zimmer to do, but for much cheaper. You know,
blasphemy.
I know you're the Zimmer honk.
And that it's nothing against Fowler. I'm just really high on Zimmer.
And I can see why you are. I mean, he's, you know, Zimmer's got the tools. Zimmer's more explosive than Fowler, mm-hmm. but I mean, Fowler's got the nice floor to him as well. But if you couldn't tell, I'm a big fan of Dustin Fowler. I think he's very underrated, and you know, another guy to. You should try to get this year. And keep in mind, another underrated prospect, if you want to get on one, is Jesus Luzardo. Also an A, came over from the Nationals in that Sean Doolittle trade. High upside arm. He missed Tommy John in 2016 due to Tommy John. Came back in 2017 and looked pretty nice. Obviously, he had a lot of restrictions on him. It was traded. So he didn't really have, you know, the smooth for comeback season because, you know, he had to deal with getting traded and moving, you know, played on three separate teams, I'm sorry. And, you know, but 1.66 ERA, 48 strikeouts in 43 innings and 5 walks. What's the lesson to come back from Tommy John? Command, right?
Mm-hmm.
5 walks in 43 innings. Okay.
That feels pretty good.
Yeah. So he's a guy to go on. I think he's got mid rotation upside. But he just needs to build up stamina. He's a strike thrower, obviously. Both curveball and changeup can be plus. Fastball was back in the mid-90s this year, right where it was pre-injury level. So he's a guy I'm trying to get all over as well, Jesus Luzardo. Austin Beck is in the next A I want to talk about. He's kind of in that tier. Talked about Drew Waters. Above-average skills across the board. What you get here. Austin Beck, though, was a football player in high school. Blew out his knee. Missed pretty much his, you know, high school baseball nowadays is pretty much a year-round thing. If you're in a warm area, he's in North Carolina, so you can kind of play all year round there. Because you know you do the school season in the spring, you know, spring of junior season, you'll do the school season in the summer. You're playing all these showcase circuits, right? He ripped up his knee playing football, so he missed all that showcase time, all that time against the elite arms that he's going to face, all that time trying to adjust to wood bats. He missed all that because he was hurt. So, you know, so it's worth breaking it down. His first 14 games in rookie ball after getting drafted, 111, 186, 167, 32% K rate and 54 at-bats. Once he got his feet underneath him, the last 21 games he played, 270, 360, 486, cut the strikeout rate down to 23%, 13.5% walk rate, and he went 5 for 6 on stealing bases. So he's an athlete. The body's pretty maxed out. He's an athlete that's not going to grow too much, which is kind of one of a lot of differences in a lot of these guys. He weighs 6'1", 200 pounds. He's already pretty thick. The overall numbers don't look that great. 211, 293, 349 in rookie ball, but he's raw. Raw in every sense of the word, but he's explosive and has the ceiling to be one of the best players in the game. Defensively, he's terrible, but who cares in fantasy? As long as you can stick in the outfield, you'll play. The bat speed isn't as quick as, you know, a lot of the other guys that are in his athletic class, but I'm kind of going to comp him to like a Clint Frazier, but he's several years away. The body's not going to get bigger. The body needs to, it's kind of soft, needs to get hit the weight room a little bit, get a little more chiseled, but I think Austin Beck is a nice guy to gamble on. He's going to go pretty high in the first-year player drafts. James Kaprielian, former Yankee in that trade, had the velocity spike. This is the Sonny Gray trade. Had the velocity spike where he was hitting 99, mixing three secondaries, and then he got hurt. He's throwing harder than he ever was, and then he had Tommy John. I don't know if that's related or not. Kind of like a car engine running, like a race car running better than it ever does before it breaks. I don't know. Hopefully it's not the case with Kaprielian. Hopefully he comes back strong. I guess he got a monitor. Nothing really new to report, but he's a nice prospect to follow, James Kaprielian. Lazaro Armenteros. Reports on Armenteros, initially anyways, were a bit, you know, down. People, you know, aren't convinced that he could play the outfield effectively or make enough contact. But he got $3 million for a reason, because he's an athlete. 288, 376, 474 in rookie ball, four homers, 10 steals, and 156 at-bats, plus speed, plus raw power. I don't like the swing. I think he needs an overhaul. He's got a little too armsy. You could tell he's always used to being the biggest, strongest guy. He's just muscles. You know what I mean? He uses pure strength instead of pure ability. He needs to switch that up a little bit. I'm not really aggressive on his batting average numbers for the future, but I do think he can hit 30 home runs. Probably plays left field, but who cares in fantasy? But playing the long game here, he could probably hit 30 home runs and steal 15 bags, but hit 250. That's fine, right? I mean,
yeah.
As long as you know what you're getting into with the batting average and don't have unrealistic expectations, you can work with that.
250 nowadays isn't what it used to be.
Right, and that's a very good point. Very good point. My next guy on this list is from the University of South Florida, Kevin Merrill. He's a 22-year-old college draft pick this year in the comp round. 320, 362, 424 as an advanced hitter in the New York Penn League. 10 stolen bases, 125 at-bats. He struck out 22 times, so that's not terrible. And only 9 walks, though. That needs to be a little better. 70 grade speed. That's pretty much the end of the fantasy tools. He's a gap power guy with 70 speed, so he could steal 30 bases if he gets enough time. He's a second baseman in my eyes because he doesn't have enough arm for short. Could be a super utility guy, but you need to watch him because that speed is potentially game changing. Sean Murphy behind the plate. He got nice reviews in the fall league. You know, catching prospects are meh, but he's from Wright State, third round pick in 2016, 297, 343, 527. And high A, didn't hit as well with promotion to double A. Very good defensive catcher with a cannon arm, above average power. The hit tool is the wild card for me, but the power is above average. I think the hit tool should be average, so an average hit tool, above average power with good, you know, obviously the walks factor into the hit tool. I like Murphy to a limited extent, but he's easily a top 10 catcher. I just don't know if that's enough for me to roster him. Renato Nunez, who still is a prospect, he's only 23, believe it or not. 249, 319, 518 with 32 homers in AAA, 141 strikeouts and 473 at-bats. That's the problem right there. Contact concerns and defensive questions, probably not going to be able to stick at third. Might have to move to first, which you got a guy named Matt Olson they kind of like over there. He could probably play corner outfield, but he's giving up a lot on the defensive end. I think he's got power to compete with anybody. 32 homers, even in the PCL. Again, he's in Nashville, not the largest offensive yard out in the PCL. So I like Renato Nunez for what he is. Low average, low OBP thumper that can play the corners, round out your AL-only squad. Should be up this year. has already been up in the past. Who else we got next? Sheldon Neese, nice guy from the Arizona Fall League. He's got some power. Can play third, probably can play an outfield corner. He was a shortstop at University of Oklahoma. Those days are gone. 321, 382, 502, 16 homers, 14 steals between three different levels. He was traded also in the Doolittle-Madison trade. Played well in the Fall League, drew rave reviews. I like players like this, man. They are above average at everything, but poor at nothing. The best physical tool he owns is his defensive ability and the throwing arm, but Matt Chapman's pretty much locked in at third base. So I don't know what Neese is going to do. He should be up in the second half this year because of the way he's trending. But he's got more power in there, 502 slugging percentage between three levels, which kind of shows you. He could probably play shortstop if you're going to shift him heavily. But the frame, it would look weird because he's a bigger dude. But he's smooth enough with the glove, he probably could. With the, you know, Oakland, I'm not sure how they shift. They strike me as a team that would shift a lot. I can't back that up, though. But, you know, I think ultimately he might have to move to first base, which would lose a lot of his prospect luster. But I think he's a good trade piece. Grant Holmes, I had him a little higher. I skipped over him from the Dodgers. A power curveball still, low to mid-90s, prospect fatigue to the max, setting in with this guy. Over a strikeout per inning, still walking too many guys. Probably a number three starter in fantasy because of strikeouts, but he's going to walk too many guys, so he's probably a four. Nice situation here in Oakland, though, in the ballpark. But ultimately, I would be intrigued if they came out and he was kind of a reliever in the Archie Bradley mold. That's kind of how I want to play Holmes. If I could get him like that, I would love it. Obviously, it's not my call to do that, though. Another guy I like, getting a little long on the Oakland system, Dakota Chalmers. He took a leave of absence this year from professional baseball, though, so I kind of don't know what's going on with that. Nasty stuff. The command's probably 30 grade, though. Needs to harness that. He's a high upside arm. Greg Diekman out of Clemson, college bat, hit very well, as he should for being a college bat against a lot of guys a little bit younger than him. You know, left-handed stroke, plus power, you know, the hit tool is probably not right there, but he's a typical right fielder. Will Toffey, kid from Vanderbilt, didn't hit for enough power in the New York Penn League, 22-year-old fourth-round pick. Strike zone judgment's the name of the game for him. He's, you know, 377 OBP with a 263 average. Nice glove at third base. The Oakland is filled up to the max at third base, so they do not need any more third basemen. Question the power output for him, so that might slow him down. Alex Campos is a raw shortstop they got from the Mariners. Logan Shore, nice arm from the University of Florida. You know, I think he's a mid-rotation arm, needs to tighten up command. Breaking ball is more consistent. Nick Allen, one of the best high school shortstops probably ever, just because, you know, how advanced he is. 5'9", 160, so you're going to question the power right away. Kind of the sum of all your parts is greater than one certain skill kind of guy. I'm going to put him in the Dansby Swanson class, but I think ultimately, you know, he's a grinder. Everyone likes hashtag grinder. Everyone likes those guys. John Gruden's favorite player now that he's out in Oakland. You know, gets more out of the skills than he should. Ramon and Dalton Jeffries back healthy, good starter. And Ramon Loreno, who they kind of stole from Houston, is an outfielder with good power, good speed, questionable hit tool that could pan out. So,
all right, that wrap us up. You think?
Yeah. I'm still, you know, get at me what your thoughts on the Mateo and Barreto debate are. See how, you know, I'm still curious to see how that is. You know, I on purpose, I stay away from other people's lists during this type of season so I don't cloud my own judgment. So I haven't seen many other places, and I don't think Mateo is number one anywhere else from what I've heard. So,
well, when this pod goes up, maybe you or I should tweet out who is the better fantasy prospect, Mateo or Barreto, and see what people
right.
say. Should we throw a puck in that, or should we just, you know?
No, I think everyone – you know, Puck's his own animal. if I could separate pitchers and hitters in prospect rankings, I would do it, but, you know, it doesn't work that way. But I think, I mean, Bredo, Puck, and Mateo are all top 50 guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mateo might be a top 20.
Well, and that would probably give people who play in leagues with, you know, people who don't play or don't listen to us a really good buying opportunity, because I don't think Mateo is a guy that a lot of people are necessarily on.
Right. I'm just, you know, I'm betting on the hit tool. So I'll go down with that.
As you should.
Right.
So. All right. That will wrap us up for this episode. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTopFWFB. Me on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. We thank you for listening. Tune in tomorrow for another team preview and prospect pod. So for Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.